And well, in what's being seen as a turning point in Israel's all-out war in Lebanon, the chief of Hezbollah, one of the West Asia's most powerful military group, Israel has claimed that it has wiped out the entire top leadership of Hezbollah, setting in motion a chain of events that makes a wider regional conflict in West Asia almost inevitable. Israel has said it will not stop till the time it eliminates anyone and everyone that poses a threat to it. With West Asia on the brink, can diplomatic efforts bear fruit anymore? On Left, Right and Center, tonight we ask, is this the end of Hezbollah? Joining me on the show this evening, Justin Oliver, senior journalist. He's joining us live from Beirut in Lebanon. Also, Sarah Coates, she's joining us live from Tel Aviv. Going across to you first, Justin, what's the situation on the ground as we speak? There have been back-to-back strikes. In fact, over 700 people have been killed in the latest strikes. And of course, you know, the killing of the Hezbollah chief has really set in motion a chain of events that makes a wider regional conflict inevitable. But as we speak, what's the situation in Beirut?
The situation in Beirut is one of shock. I think at the moment, you know, this was a person that had a very oversized influence in the country and in the region. And so, you know, certain people today were seen crying. Other people, you know, he was a figure that split opinion. There were people that deeply loved him or were deeply impacted by his role in society over the last 30 plus years. And there were a number of people who weren't so fond of him and weren't particular to him. So it's a split, it's a mix, but I think the bigger fear right now is one of what comes next, because right now everyone on the ground is unsure, you know, who follows up. As you mentioned, much of the leadership has been taken down. Of course, a lot of that is military leadership in terms of who would take over his particular role. There's a couple of contenders in play. We're still not sure who will succeed him. But all things considered, with the war ongoing, there's genuine fear here of what can happen next, whether it's coming from Israel or coming internally.
Absolutely. And before I bring in Sarah, very quickly, Justin, also, you know, on the point that innocent civilians have also been killed in this in the latest airstrikes, given the fact that 700 people have died. So take us through that as well. This seems like a major escalation in that sense as well, given the fact that so many civilians have been killed. And in fact, reports also of the airport control tower being taken over by Israel.
Yeah, I mean, these are reports that I've just read, same as you at this point, so I can't confirm those until now. But definitely a number of civilians have been killed, hundreds and hundreds. You know, the attack last night was in a populated area, in a residential area, using, you know, I've read in the New York Times just now about 80 bombs. So in this sense, yeah, people here are struggling. Many people have lost family members, people who have nothing to do with the group or supporting the group. Not that supporting the group necessarily means that you deserve to die. Sure. And then a number of people, you know, obviously we have thousands and thousands of displaced people. The numbers and some estimates going anywhere between 200,000 to 500,000 people are sleeping on beaches, on sidewalks. So it's a dire situation at the moment.
Let me bring in Sarah Coates at this point. You know, Sarah, Israel has made it clear that it will not stop till the time it eliminates anyone and everyone who poses a threat to the territorial integrity and the safety of Israel. But what's the sentiment there? Of course, Israel also perhaps preparing for what could be a retaliation as well, given the fact that you have Iran's supreme leader also being taken to safety. So, you know, what's the sentiment exactly in Israel at the moment?
This is certainly a country bracing for a response from Hezbollah after the assassination of Hassan Nasrallah late yesterday. I'm here actually what is known as Hostage Square. This is where normally thousands of people every Saturday night to call for the return of these more than 100 hostages that do remain in the Gaza Strip. Now, it was about 15, 20 minutes or so ago, red alert, air raid sirens began ringing out right across Tel Aviv. People here rushing to shelter. We do understand this was a surface-to-surface missile. It was shot from Yemen by the Houthi rebels. It was intercepted just off the coast of Tel Aviv. And this is why these air raid sirens were triggered in such a wide area, because generally these missiles are pretty high up. And when they are intercepted, it could cause a lot of shrapnel to fall over a fairly wide area. But in terms of the situation here on the ground in Tel Aviv, you can really see the disconnect when it comes to Tel Aviv, other parts of the country. This is an area where people have been at restaurants out on the beach throughout the day. While other parts of the country, they are being told to stay extremely close to shelter. Now, over the last couple of hours, the IDF's Home Front Command, it has issued new advice to the public. That is, gatherings must be 1,000 people. And this is why this area, which is usually packed on Saturday night, as once again people call for the return of these hostages, is basically deserted, although these family members, these loved ones of these hostages, say they will, after this, move outside to the Kiria, that is the IDF headquarters, not far from where I'm standing, and they will rally, calling for the return of their loved ones. Now, we do understand, according to the Chief of Staff, Betsy Levy, that the IDF, the Israeli military, is on peak alert, on offensive and also on the offensive as Israel waits for this response. Pretty worrying words we're hearing from Iran's Supreme Leader, Ali Khamenei. He came out to say that Muslims should confront Israel and that the fate of the region will be shaped by the resistance. Certainly a lot of concern also from world leaders and regional other regional players. The European Union has now said all flights, all aircraft should actually be diverted, should not be landing in Beirut, in Tel Aviv, until the end of October. So certainly an extremely concerning situation on the ground as people here wait for some sort of retaliation.
Absolutely, Sarah, stay on with us. But Justin, this has been a week of perhaps the deadliest escalations in almost two decades, as many have pointed out. But what next for Hezbollah? Is this the end of Hezbollah, given the fact that the top leadership has been eliminated? Now, of course, will there be a change of guard? There certainly has to be. But what next for the military group?
I don't think, as of now, the group is on its last legs. I mean, it's undoubtedly taken hits in the last couple of weeks, starting with the pager attacks last Tuesday, I believe it was. And then the walkie-talkie attacks on Wednesday. I should mention as well, though, that those attacks were not strictly limited to Hezbollah and also hit a wider range. So I want to keep, you know, the focus on that, the fact that Lebanese civilians are really suffering here. The group itself, I don't think, you know, they've got a wide range of support. I don't think it's over yet. But the question is, undoubtedly, they will have to adapt. They're a secretive group. So even people inside Lebanon, there's still a lot of details that are not available to the public. How they will change, how Iran might adapt in terms of their support for Hezbollah. And then we have to think as well about internal considerations, their relationship with the rest of the Lebanese state. These are all questions that are left up in the air. And that's one reason why today many people are tense, simply because we don't know what's coming next. We're not sure what will happen to the state, what will happen to the state, what will happen in this ongoing war. If this brings us any closer to a ceasefire, though that's not something that seems to have been talked about much today anyways. But the people of Lebanon are really eager for a cease of hostilities so that they can return to their homes, be it in the southern suburbs, in the country's east, in the south, or beyond, because really so many thousands of people are currently in dire situations. The country has been in an economic crisis since 2019. And, you know...
Absolutely. And Sarah, quickly, my last question to you. More than 140 sites were bombed as per reports. How did Israel really execute Operation New Order, as it were, given the fact that this has really come as a turning point in the entire crisis? And what is Israel's strategy now diplomatically going forward?
What we are seeing here from the Israelis, the IDF pressing ahead, continue with these reports of the targeted strikes in an area of Beirut. We can confirm that the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is back in Israel after a very short trip to New York, where he spoke at the United Nations.
All right, we seem to have an issue with your audio, Sarah. We'll try and fix that with you. But you gave us a perspective from the Israeli leadership as well. Thanks very much, Justin and Sarah, for being with us and getting us those live updates of the situation. As my panelists have been reporting, remains tense on the ground, given the fact that we're bracing perhaps for what could be a wider regional conflict. This, as it's just been hours since the Hezbollah chief was killed. But how did the day's events pan out? Well, as I said earlier as well, this has been a week of deadliest escalations. More than 700 people have died in Lebanon. Israel has opened a fresh front in the entire crisis in West Asia. What lies ahead? Take a look at this report.
As Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu rose to address the United Nations General Assembly, the IDF had its target locked in Beirut. Hezbollah General Secretary and the most prominent face in Lebanon, Hassan Nasrallah, Israel military confirmed on Saturday that Hassan Nasrallah was killed alongside Hezbollah commanders in Friday's airstrike on Beirut.
יש עוד כלים קדימה ללכת, והמסר הוא מסר פשוט, מי שמאיים על אזרחי מדינת ישראל נדע להגיע בצפון, בדרום, גם במקומות יותר רחוקים.
Killing Nasrallah has marked a massive Israeli escalation. Israel's offensive against Hezbollah began on 8th of October last year, a day after Hamas's attack on South Israel. There was a tacit understanding then that Israel would not assassinate the group's senior-most leaders. However, this understanding has not been honored in recent months, with Israel killing several senior members of Hezbollah.
It will continue for some time. Israel is actually, Prime Minister of Israel, Netanyahu, is trying to drag United States into a regional war. He wanted to bring Hezbollah, Lebanon, and Iran on the same platform, because that's the only way to bring United States into the war, into regional war. Because at the end of the day, the objective for Israel is to destroy Iran and to destroy Hezbollah.
Thousands of residents in Beirut's densely populated southern suburbs slept in parks, on streets, or in cars overnight as they fled southern Lebanon to try and avoid Israeli attacks. Taking precautionary steps, Iran, which is reputed to back Hezbollah, has reportedly shifted their supreme leader Ayatollah Khamenei to a safe zone.
The killing of Hassan Nasrallah in a precised attack by Israel shows that Israel is not willing to accept any kind of temporary pause or a ceasefire in that particular region. But what is more significant is to see whether Iran, which has been backing these proxy militias, will now step up to the occasion and support these groups to retaliate against Israel, which can see a potential and a wider Middle East conflict. In Delhi, Mohammed Ghazali for NDTV.